Presence. I have seen the Maharishi when he was in a small cave up the hillside, shunning human society and wrapped in uncanny and unbroken silence. I have seen him when he came a little down the hillside and dwelt on its lower stretches. A room with a veranda all round took the place of the narrow, diminutive cave. Whenever I saw him during these later days, I used to ply him with questions about the soul, and he used to smile and give brief, bright, blessed replies, dispelling doubt. I have seen him since in a spacious room amidst a handsome pile of buildings, which are yet growing in number and in size. A shrine was built in memory of his holy mother, who has passed into the beyond and become one with God. His present abode is at the foot of the hill. His coming down thus from the hillside to the hill base is symbolical of the new urge, the urge to commune with God and also to build the kingdom of God on the earth. I found him stretched at ease on a couch during the sweltering heat of the day. A revolving bookshelf was near his hand. At his foot, a stand of incense sticks sent wreathed smoke rings of subtle perfume into the motionless air. A little beyond sat disciples and admirers in a meditative pose, in absolute calm and quietness. Ever and anon, the slightest of the slight breezes came stealing into the room and made the incense smoke whirl and spread, while the world intoxicated mind became subdued, calm, and purified in the holy atmosphere of the sage. Not one word was uttered by anyone, but there was an eloquent silence all about us. Heard melodies are sweet, but those unheard are sweeter. Therefore, ye soft pipes, play on, not to the sensual ear, but more endeared. Pipe to the spirit, ditties of no tone. Keats. Was it the stately presence of the silent hill seen through the window that spoke to our souls with a solemn, silent stillness? Was it the holy mood of the Master in his introverted introspection? Was it the still, small voice of everyone there, wrapped into a kindred mood by a force subtle and unseen, but powerful and felt within? We sat there, and time rolled on while we were oblivious of its course. Each felt a sense of inner release and was as happy as a bird, sailing with supreme dominion through the azure deep of air. The hush of the evening fell upon us. The Master rose and passed into the open pandal close by and sat on a couch in a place whence we could see the hill floodlighted by the setting sun. The disciples and admirers also moved thither and sat in a semicircle in front of the sage. Then began that chant of the daily evening song, glorifying the Master and His message. The hymn swelled forth again and again in ever new cadences, all the persons present taking up the chorus. May Sri Ramana's holy feet live and flourish and bless all forever and forever. Then the hymn came to a solemn close and the full moon rose in the sapphire sky. That deep silence which had preceded the rapturous song fell on us once more. The inner full moon of divine ecstasy rose in the sky of our hearts. Then came to my mind the great passage by Oscar Wilde. Indeed, that is the charm about Christ. When all is said, He is just like a work of art. He does not really teach one anything, but by being brought into His presence, one becomes something. And everybody is predestined to His presence. I felt that I was predestined to the sage's presence and went into the stillness of the night, moving away from Him physically, but feeling drawn nearer to Him in spirit, like a streamer blown against the wind. Sourced from The Golden Jubilee Souvenir by Devon Bahadur, K.S. Ramaswamy Shastri.